Now we're sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care as we visit, as we always do, Tuesdays at this time with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hi, Dr. Copen. How are you?
I'm great, John. I think like everyone else, trying to stay cool, but it's a lovely summer in Chicago.
You know, I was thinking about, I didn't ask, we had some other doctor on this week, and I asked him what we should drink, and he said a lot of fluids. And I said, does soda or coffee count? That's liquid. And he preferred that we drink water. Is the reason we drink water to cool us off, like you want cool water, or would warm water be just as helpful on a warm day? Is it the cooling or is it the hydration, doctor?
Now, hydration is the most important thing, John. So even warm water is going to be helpful. Our bodies are really good at keeping us at the proper temperature. But a lot of that, it is dependent on having enough fluid inside our body to allow the normal cooling physiology to work. So whether the water we drink is warm or cold, it really doesn't matter. The cool thing, the key thing is to remain hydrated with a lot of water.
Well, there's a lot of water in a diet soda or a lemonade. What about that, doctor?
Yeah, so diet soda, if there's caffeine in it, caffeine actually acts as a diuretic. So your kidneys are going to be expelling more fluid through urine than what would be ideal during a really hot period of time. So you'd want to stay away from caffeine. The other thing, too, is the diet soda, you know, the carbonation, other things in it, you really don't need that. I think if you're drinking during a hot period of time with the idea of staying well hydrated, I would agree with whoever the colleague was you were speaking with, Jim. Water is really the best thing. A lot of people like the electrolyte drinks. That's fine, but it's not necessary. Staying hydrated with good old Lake Michigan water, that'll do a really good job for you to keep you well hydrated and cool during the summer.
Does caffeine have an impact on my blood pressure or my heart health, caffeine?
Caffeine definitely can cause blood pressure to go up, to increase, particularly in people who have hypertension, who have abnormally elevated levels of blood pressure. Caffeine also in large amounts can make our hearts beat fast. I think we've all had that experience with heavily caffeinated beverages.
Some people want that, though. I know I've seen a lot of baseball players. My son played baseball. A lot of the kids would be drinking Red Bull before the game. What do you think of that? What advice do you have for the kids or the moms or dads that are watching their kids play sports?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the Red Bull is supposed to do. I know people think it gives them more energy. Mm-hmm. They think that perhaps their performance increases.
They call them energy drinks.
I doubt that really happens.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they call them energy drinks, but you're not 100% endorsing that, huh?
No. I don't think people should. I don't think it improves performance. So, if the reason to take it is you think it's going to improve your athletic performance, I don't think that's true. Clearly, people will feel more energized. People who are tired, it will wake them up. But again, from a strictly physiologic standpoint and the ability to perform at a peak level in any kind of athletic pursuit, it's really not going to do that for you in a way that's going to be lasting and make you better at what you're doing.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, if you think about that, like we understand that caffeinated drinks make you more awake, but it's not like you were going to fall asleep at the plate anyway. So how does a super dose of caffeine make you better able to hit the ball or make the shot? There was this story in the New York Times. Lisa Walton suffered for years with rheumatoid arthritis. It was awful, she said, and she kept getting sicker and sicker. She had high blood pressure. She was obese. Doctors told her to diet and exercise, which she did to no avail. Then she found a doctor who prescribed Wegovy, one of the new obesity drugs. Not only did she lose more than 50 pounds, she said her arthritis cleared up and she no longer needed pills to lower her blood pressure. What do you make of stories like that, Doctor?
Yeah, so Jen, here we are with our weekly update in the wild world of the new weight loss medications. As we continually say, with more experience, more people taking these medications, we're seeing more and more benefits and also some detriments of these from these medications. I think in this situation, and it's far too early to ascribe any kind of anti-rheumatologic disease effect of the weight loss, the new weight loss medications, I suspect what we're seeing here, and I'm surmising something. We don't have real data to be able to say this with 100% certainty, but I suspect what happened in this lady is with her weight loss, she likely had a decrease in overall inflammation in her body. Obese people, and this lady lost 50 pounds, obese people have a higher baseline amount of inflammation in their body. Rheumatoid arthritis is a inflammatory disease. And I would suspect that what she experienced was with a decrease in the baseline inflammation in her body, she had a significant improvement in the rheumatoid arthritis inflammation that she had. Mm-hmm. Now, whether there's also a direct effect of the weight loss medication in addition to the weight loss itself due to this medication, nobody can say right now. That's something I suspect we'll learn over the next couple of years.
Well, you can't prove a negative. That is, she did this one thing and that happened. But you're suggesting that it's also possible that had she been able to lose weight without the drug, maybe her blood pressure and arthritis would have cleared up as well, right?
Yes. And what this lady would say, I mean, her story is that she tried everything for many years to lose weight. She wasn't able to, but Wegovy happened to be something effective in her. And with her 50-pound weight loss, her rheumatoid arthritis
right.
seemed to get way better.
But what I'm wondering is, what if I wasn't obese and I had arthritis? I wonder if Wegovy would clear that up for me as well. Or was the arthritis a function of her weight and having lost the weight one way or other, then the pain from the arthritis dissipated? Just real quick, let's finish that conversation you and I were having before the break. And that is, if people are taking something like Wegovy, and lo and behold, not only do they lose weight, but their arthritis symptoms clear up too, is it conceivable that even if I weren't an overweight person, that these weight loss drugs would be useful that way?
As of today, John, there's absolutely no evidence that that would occur, that there is an independent impact of a drug like Wegovy directly on rheumatoid arthritis as an example of an inflammatory disease caused by our immune systems. It will be interesting as we get more and more experience with these medications, which other diseases perhaps this class of medication has a direct effect on. At the same time, I think we have to be really careful, John, that we don't overdo it with the enthusiasm about this new class of medications. I mean, there's been so many different diseases where there have been early reports of a beneficial effect of people taking these weight loss medications. But before we start using the medications in large groups of people mm-hmm. for indications other than weight loss, I would really counsel restraint. We just need more experience and time to understand whether there's a positive impact or not.
Is the industry keeping up with the demand on that, Doctor? I haven't heard so much of late of people who need it but can't get it because of the crush. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, it's variable depending on the medication. Some medications are available in pharmacies. Other medications, there's a delay in being able to get it. So the pharmaceutical companies continue to ramp up their manufacture. Typically, what we'll do is we call the pharmacy to see what they have. Mm. And then depending on what they have in supply and what's available to the patient, we can make a decision what to prescribe.
Well, there's three, four, five, half dozen of them that seem to be out there anymore. Are they all essentially the same thing, or is one of them better for me and one of them better for you?
Yeah, it's such a good question. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. They're very similar structurally, but they're not exactly the same. And I suspect that we'll learn over time that different types of people will do better with different medications. So in other words, it's going to be, again, not one size fits all, but we're going to get more and more sophisticated in terms of learning how to use these medications to be far more directive with each individual.
Did we come to any conclusion about Pfizer versus Moderna when we were talking about COVID vaccines?
They were equally as good.
Anything else I should know about the on the vaccine front, either for flu or there's a drug-resistant flu variant that the CDC has identified?
They COVID? Found two viruses out there. No one should worry about that right now. Just be happy that our surveillance mechanisms pick up on this, so our scientists at CDC, NIH, and other institutions are able to study them, but nothing to be fearful then. I think we talked about when you were on vacation, John, this is interesting that Moderna is working now on a combined vaccine that will be both the seasonal influenza and COVID. That's not going to be available, though, it appears, till the fall of 2025.
Dr. Jeffrey Copens, the chief medical officer at Northwestern over at Lake Forest. Doctor, let's do this next Tuesday, sir.
Looking forward to it. Everybody stay cool. Drink a lot of water.
Drink a lot of water, he said.